We've got about 10 minutes remaining in our service time tonight. I want to encourage you to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I want to read again verses 1 through 7 as we continue our series on Back to the Basics, and specifically in this series, enjoying the richness of God's grace and mercy. It's one thing to talk about God's grace. It's another thing to live and experience it every day. And that's what God desires for His children. That's a basic. It's an understanding that we all have to have. I want to read the first 7 verses again. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Now, we could go on and continue on this theme of the grace of God, because in verse 8 it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." By the way, those are my life verses. I memorized those many, many years ago. And they speak of the wonderful grace of God that saved us, that delivered us from our sin. But the thought here in verse 7 is a penetrating idea looking into the future, that in the ages to come, He, who is He? Christ Jesus, would show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, there's this eternal aspect of the grace of God that we're going to enjoy for all the endless ages of eternity, because we're going to get to see at that time just how bad we were, just how great His grace was in our behalf, and it will just be like facets of a diamond constantly being shown forth for its glory and its beauty. That's what we have to look forward to. And this is one of those basics that you and I need to get a hold of. I was reading not too long ago about Vince Lombardi. Vince Lombardi was one of the most winningest coaches in football back in the 60s and 70s. And in 1960, at Thanksgiving Day, the Packers were playing, and they lost their game. It was the third loss that they had had during the season. And he walked into the locker room at the end of losing on Thanksgiving Day, 1960s, and he pulled out of a bag a football, and he walked in front of his men, and he said, "Men, this is a football." Now, these were seasoned veterans of the game. These were men that had played college football, some of them high school, gone on to play professionally, but here he was with this ball, and he said, "This, men, is a football." And he began to speak to them about the basics of football, and he said, "Don't ever forget this, men. If you don't live the basics, you will not win the game of football." You know what they did? They went out from Thanksgiving, they won their last 4 games and got into the NFC Championship. Now, they lost the championship, but every one of those men, as they were being interviewed at the NFC Championship game, they said, "Why are you here, Green Bay? Why are you here?" And you know what they all said, all those men? "Coach Vince Lombardi, that's why we're here." And you know what we're going to say when we get to heaven? "Why are we here?" And you know what we're going to say? "The Lord Jesus Christ." That's the only answer. Through Him, we are going to enjoy heaven because of His grace and His mercy. And the Bible describes it as exceeding grace. exceeding riches of His grace and of His mercy. That's the description that's made there. That's the best we can do in English to describe it. But when you get to heaven and you stand in His presence and you've cast your crown before His feet, we're going to just be beginning of the unfolding of all the riches of His grace for all eternity. But you know what we're called upon to do here? The Apostle Paul has put it basically this way: cherish Christ or perish. We could put it this way: cherish or perish. I want you to listen to these verses of Scripture here, which are translated love in our King James Bible, but I'm going to put the word cherish, and I want you to listen carefully. "For we know that all things work together for good to them who cherish God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Romans 8:28. "But as it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who cherish Him." Have we received everything we're going to get as far as believers in Christ? No. We've just scratched the surface. But they're prepared for those who cherish Him, who love Him. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them who cherish His appearing." It's translated love, but it's the same word. And then listen to this verse, 1 Corinthians 16:22. "If any man cherish not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." That's where I get the phrase, cherish or perish. What does anathema mean? Let him be cursed. Let him be as the one who spends his eternity apart from Christ. And then finally, Ephesians 6:24. "Grace be unto them who cherish our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." Amen. Cherish. I want to talk to you about this basic of cherishing the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He is rich in mercy and grace, but what does that mean? Is it just a pie in the sky expression, the richness of His mercy and grace? Or does it have everyday application in my life? Am I enjoying it? If I'm not, what am I doing here? Why am I in church on a Wednesday night? I could be out there with the world enjoying it and doing my own thing. What does it mean to enjoy the richness of His mercy and His grace? Well, let's think about that. There are three things, very quickly, that are shared in these verses of Scripture in Ephesians 2. Number one, we need a Savior. We need to cherish the Savior because of our corruption in sin. We need to cherish the Savior because of the corruption of our sin. You ever think about just how corrupt you and I really are? The thoughts we think, the desires of our heart that don't line up with this book. This is after we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The idea of cherishing Christ comes from the fact in verse 1 that I was dead in trespasses and sins, and in His grace and in His richness of mercy, in you He hath quickened. He's made you alive. Could I make myself alive? No. I have no power. I have no means whereby to change my situation, being dead in trespasses and sin. But there was one who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so I need to cherish the Savior because of the corruption of my sin. Number two, I need to cherish the Savior because of my captivity to Satan and the fact that I've been delivered. Think about this. Look at verse 2. "Wherein in time past," so I just go back before we were saved, "wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to whom? Prince and power of the air." That's who I belong to. "The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's what I was. But I'm not that anymore. Do I hear an amen? I'm not that anymore. I was taken from the kingdom of Satan and I was brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, and I had nothing to do with it other than the fact that I exercised faith, which He told me to do. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all I knew to do. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, repent and believe the gospel. Those are not works. Those are simply doing what God said that we are to do. And He's the one that carried me from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of light. And my responsibility is to cherish Him for what He's done. To cherish Him. That's a basic. And then thirdly, we need to cherish the Savior because we were condemned to hell. In our lost state, we were condemned to hell. Look at in verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, get this, by nature, the children of what? Wrath, even as others. You know why I need to cherish the Savior? Because Todd Brainerd was condemned to hell, condemned to the lake of fire, except for Jesus Christ. And then you see that wonderful contrasting conjunction there in verse 4, but God. That's it. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. I want to tell you something, folks. One of the basics, it's like the Lord Jesus Christ standing just like Vince Lombardi did in front of his team. They knew how to play football. It wasn't like this was the first time that they'd ever seen a football. But you know what He was doing? He was reminding them of the blueprint of the game of football that they needed to go out and live on the field. Right? They needed to live it out on the field. And you know what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in Ephesians chapter 2? He's telling us to live out what it means to be a recipient of the richness of His grace and of His mercy. And you know what that is? Cherishing Jesus Christ. Cherish or perish. God help us to cherish our Savior. That's a basic of Christian living, and we need to get back to the basics. We cherish just about everything in this world other than Christ. Let's just be real about it. There is so many things that we cherish ahead and above Jesus Christ. That's why we'll do those things instead of opening our Bible and studying it. We'll do those other things instead of praying to Him. We'll do those things instead of enjoying and enriching our lives with His mercy and His grace. We'll do those other things because we cherish those other things. But God help us to get back to basics. Do I hear an amen? I know I've sounded like I'm just preaching at you. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself, and I let you listen in tonight. I hope you don't mind. There are so many other things that we're cherishing today, and we're missing the richness of His grace and His mercy. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your precious Word. Oh, it's so wonderful. And Lord, so many times we miss the main thing because we're focusing on the secondary thing. We're spending all our time trying to make it in this world, trying to have more, trying to have this, trying to have that, and we start cherishing things that make absolutely no difference and one day will be destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth and we won't even remember it in the future. How sad that we do not cherish Thee, our Savior. Father, I pray that You'd help us to get back to basics, for I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you and have a good evening.